herein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Problems, problems, problems all day long. Will my problems work out right or wrong? My baby don't like anything I do. My teacher seems to feel the same way too.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You are listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream at kfarradio.com. This is Problem Corner. I am your host, David Pruse. If you have a question or want to call in, we're at 907-458-TALK. That's 907-458-8255. And today is a Monday, so it's a business and economics day here in Fairbanks. And I was supposed to have Natalie Neubauer, the owner of the Botel Bar, and she was my last guest prior to COVID shutdown, and a great conversation with her. And I was looking forward to having that conversation again with her post, you know, 2 years opening later. But she's a business lady, an astute person, a wonderful person, and she was not able to make it. She had to pull a shift. So I dragged her husband's butt in here. Raleigh Johnson, how you doing, sir?
If I could be any better, I'd bottle it and sell it.
But, well, first of all, thank you for covering for your wife.
And this is she usually covers for me, so this is very different for me.
I know. It's so funny, you know. How do I pick a guest? How do I pick a guest? And here I was walking across the parking lot, you know, on the way back from here last week. And I said, hello, Natalie, how you doing? She was coming out of the Nerland building where you guys have a business. And, you know, took about 15 steps. I turned around and said, hey, you got to be on the radio show with me next Monday. She goes, okay.
Yeah, she was excited for this.
Yeah. So we'll get her on here again. But that's just how you pick a guest.
That's, you just walk down the street and, hey, you want to be on the radio.
Yeah, well, you know, all of a sudden it clicks and you go, okay, business, Monday. You know, talk about your business. How, you know, I saw her. She had a little bit of article in the newspaper about the impact of COVID and getting people to work.
Yes, obviously, and it's still hitting today. It's short staffed over there.
Yeah, it's sad, but wherever you go, it's that way.
Yeah.
Now you opened up a little bit of a business.
Well, a theater. We started a theater. Me and my wife. We've always kind of been theater people, mm-hmm. and. During COVID, we wanted to get back on the stage.
Yeah.
And so me and Rachel Blackwell and Jomo Stewart, a couple other people, we all came together and said, how can we get ourselves back on stage and how can we get other people on stage? And so we started our own theater called Uncorked Public Theater. And we do radio shows and radio plays and... Hopefully next year, early March or so, we're going to...
The shadow knows.
Yes.
But, you know, it's interesting. You're right down the hallway in the basement of the Nerland's building from my office.
Yes.
And so I was like, okay. And it's interesting how that location came about. 2019, on Halloween, a person got married down there.
I saw the remnants of that.
Yeah. And they took 2 weeks... decorating prior to that, and you know, and then I saw the photos of the bride and groom, and it was like a wonderful time. But here's this great big area down there with a bathroom,
yeah,
and you guys wheel down the bar and boom, you're off and running.
Well, it was a little slow at first, but it takes time to get the wheels in motion, get people kind of excited for what you're doing and what you want to present and how you want to present it, and I think it's coming along.
Well, first of all, thank you for doing it, and kudos, because Fairbanks is one of the most incredible towns with talent.
I agree.
And we're an island unto ourselves. If you want to go see a show, you're not going, say, down Federal Way to Tacoma or coming up to see something in Seattle.
No.
Or there is no town next to us except for North Pole and Fox.
That is correct.
And you might see some band out at the Howling Dock.
Yeah. They do actually a pretty good job of getting people out there.
But not a big production.
No.
So we're very talent-oriented. We have a lot of talent, a lot of local talent, and they're able to put on good presentation.
Well, that's one of the things we wanted to do. We know we're not Broadway.
No.
Like, that was one of the things. Like, we know we're not Broadway. We want you in and out of this, like, hour and a half. Like,
yeah.
You know, go to dinner before, after, enjoy a show. If you want to go get up and get a cocktail before, you know, during the show, do that. We're not Broadway. We know who we are.
we don't have those types of limitations,
yes,
that are imposed socially. Oh, you can't get up during a show. Yeah. Oh, you want to bet? Budweiser's calling my name.
But yeah, that was one of the things that early on, that was one of the things we discussed, you know, having it where it's very casual, I guess.
Yeah.
And I think it's starting to come through, just the shows we've done so far, and we'll have another one coming up in September. Just the casual ability to enjoy a show.
Yeah.
You know.
What's your show in September?
More radio shows. We're going to do Two Shadows.
Ah, Two Shadows.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
We might do a Philip Marlowe, because I like Philip Marlowe, but
yeah,
I like that kind of stuff. Yeah. My grandfather sold me on it. We used to get all these, he lived in California, and he would send us all these tapes of the day that he recorded, and he'd send it us up, and that was kind of how I wanted to get into radio, because, you know, just listening to it, I was like, oh, my mind was there. I could see it in my head, and then it was just beautiful how it looked and how it sounded in my head.
You know, it's funny how you listen to a radio show, and I always bring this up to Perry Watt. I remember the first time I did, I laughed so hard for the reason why it happened. It was a Sunday morning, about 6 a.m., 7 a.m., I'm up, and I go to the radio, and I turn on the ESPN Sports. And this is back when they were over in Aurora there.
Yep.
So I turn it on.
A couple years ago.
And I'm hearing this broadcast of Jungle Man with Charlton Heston on the radio. I mean, it was like 1938, 39 stuff. And so I saw Perry, you know, that summer out at the pump house. And I brought it up, and he looked at me, and he just heard this story. He goes, oh, my God. It was 40 below, and someone unplugged the dish that tracked, and it froze because they plugged in their car. So he had to get up at, like, 6 a.m. in the morning in his robe and bunny boots and a great big hammer to break the ice and plug it back in and trying to get this thing going. And he goes, this is the worst experience I ever had, because he was living upstairs. He was living upstairs in the apartment. And I was a Jungle Man. I never even remembered. You know, it was a little bit before my time.
Yeah.
You know, I remember Charlton Heston, but radio? Really?
Well, just even from this studio, like, growing up, I listened to Bill Wally. Steve Agbaba, to me, growing up, was the
quintessential.
Oh, my goodness.
You have the Agbaba room here still.
I know. And I remember growing up, and I would call in. I'd talk to him, and we'd talk baseball and stuff like that. And then it always sounded so much bigger. Because the Glenn Miller Orchestra is in the studio tonight. And I was just flabbergasted.
Yeah.
How do you get a whole orchestra? And he would pretend that there was a live studio audience. I was like, I need to get into that. I would tell my mom and dad, please, can I go to the Steve Agbaba show? And so that's kind of just how I, based on, you know, with that, and my father, grandfather sending me these tapes of The Shadow and Boston Black, you know, all these people. That's kind of how I love radio. This is kind of, I've always jokingly said, I got no job skills or work ethic, but I'm perfect for radio.
As my oldest brother told me, I have the perfect face for radio. Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. If you have any call-in questions, we're at 458-TALK, 907-458-8255. Back up to these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
The Valdez Fishing Report is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Heading out for some weekend fishing? Make sure your vehicle's ready for the trip. Stop by your local Fairbanks Jiffy Lube for oil changes, transmission services, air filters, and much more. That's a job for Jiffy.
It's time for the Valdez Fishing Report. Interviews, derby standings, tips, and advice for Prince William Sound.
Lori Prox here with Vanessa Gilbertson, reeled in a 131.4-pound halibut, got on the leaderboard in the Valdez Halibut Derby. You said the fish was a bit hard to reel up. So tell me, once you got that on, what transpired? Did you have other fish on at that point?
No, so it was just my fish. Everybody had actually caught their fish already, so I was kind of the last one, and everyone was like, you're going to get a big one, and I honestly didn't want to. I was hoping for a littler one so it wouldn't be as hard to reel in, but once it got on, yeah, the way it felt, I thought I had caught, like, a whale or something.
Vanessa, how long did it take you to reel up?
About half an hour.
And everyone on the boat, what were they doing?
They were just kind of cheering me on and telling me to keep going and not to stop because I wanted to give up like twice.
At what point did you know how big it was?
When it surfaced and it saw the light and then it took off again and it was pulling the buoy with it. And I was like, oh my gosh.
And what were you thinking at that point?
Just thinking that this thing was huge and how was I going to get it in the boat?
And once you did?
Once I did, I was definitely excited. Everybody was excited for me. It was the biggest one on the boat. So, yeah.
Hi, this is Donna Waller of Easy Freeze in Valdez. I would like to encourage all you folks to give Easy Freeze a try. You spend a lot of time and effort catching your fish in Valdez. So why not vacuum pack and freeze them in Easy Freeze so they will stay fresher through the winter? I used to do it myself, and there is a big difference. Give Easy Freeze a try. You'll never go back.
KVAK's Valdez Fishing Report. Fish Valdez and reel in a big one.
The Valdez Fishing Report is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Heading to your favorite fishing hole? Get your vehicle ready for the trip. Swing by your local Fairbanks Jiffy Lube for oil changes and much more. You never need an appointment at Jiffy Lube. Total car care. That's a job for Jiffy.
KFAR weather.
Cloudy skies today with scattered thunderstorms likely. Highs around 77. Southwesterly winds around 5 miles an hour. Scattered thunderstorms likely tonight, 55. Overcast. Slight chance for scattered storms tomorrow. Highs level off around 75. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Derek Height.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Raleigh Johnson in the studio with me here. We're talking a little bit about old KFAR, and one name that always comes back to me, and I put a portion of the show after it, was Gail Malloy.
Oh, yeah, in the morning.
Yeah, with Meet a Pioneer.
Yes.
And so Wednesday's my, you know, pioneer, local legend, longtime Fairbanks and nefarious character.
Yes.
So, you know, but when I started this, you know, I had to segment it out. Today's business, economics, yep. Tomorrow's politics. Wednesdays at, you know, the Pioneer, the history of Alaska.
Yes.
And this Wednesday we have Nick Nugent on, and we're going to talk about when they built the nuclear power plant out at Greeley that no one really knew about.
I what time is it? Because I just learned about this right now.
Yeah, that's Wednesday Nick Nugent presentation. And then they took it apart. You know, they couldn't take it up. They decommissioned it about 1973. Mm-hmm. They built it in 62, 63. So it was going for a good decade or so. And anyway, yeah, nuclear power plant here in Fairbanks, Alaska. I mean, outside of Fairbanks.
Yeah. You're
flabbergasted.
I read a book this weekend. Speaking of old Pioneer.
You're telling me about it, yeah.
It's called Alaska Blonde. It was about the 1953 murder of Cecil Wells in the Northward Building. And if you like old Fairbanks history and you're a true crime person, which I like both those.
So in 1953, that building was brand new.
Oh, it was.
A town upon it in a town.
Yeah, it was. And, yeah. You know, you had your barbershop, your bar, you had everything.
Yeah.
You know, ballroom dancing.
Bank.
Everything.
Yeah.
And that was the.
You had a store. You had the yellow cab.
That was one of the things that they talked about in this book. You didn't have to leave, you know, when you got your 8 months of winter, you didn't have to leave the building.
Yeah.
And it was just very interesting to read this book and see how much, you know, obviously Fairbanks has changed, but reading this book, how many great names. Ted Stevens, it was like his first, he was just the first, like, his first foray into Fairbanks DA.
Wow.
The Zavirl last name, with just Lois Cries. Just so many old Fairbanks names. It's cool to see as much Fairbanks has changed.
Not a thing, yes.
Not a thing yet. All the same. It is very cool. That's one of the things that
a lot of nefarious characters. That'd
yes,
be
absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And and that was one of the things that I miss most about my dad is he grew up here. He had, you know, he did a newspaper route at the line.
Yeah.
You know, like. So like it was. You can touch Fairbanks history so easily here, and that's one of the things I really enjoy about it.
You know, I always say we've had a short history, but it's been very rich.
Oh, absolutely.
Very rich.
Absolutely. Just think about that. So, like, when my dad was growing up, they had they were miners, like a lot of people were. Mm-hmm. They're Cleary Valley, you look down there, you see all those little houses and cabins. His cabin is still there.
Wow.
And, you know, the workers' huts are still there and stuff like that. And that's pretty, it's like I said, you could just touch, you can touch Fairbanks history so closely, but it seems so far away. 1950, you're like, oh man, that seems so far. Yeah, it was not that far away, but that was a lifetime ago.
You know, in the 50s, that's when they really started putting money into Fairbanks because of the Soviet threat and everything like that. And 52, just the year before the Northward opened, they opened up the Polaris building.
Yeah.
And, you know, boy, that was if you look at it, it's that Soviet building style with a town within a town in the Arctic.
Yeah. It was, it's very interesting because that, obviously not a lot of Fairbanks had seen something like this. And to see two mammoth, gorgeous buildings come up in the middle of Fairbanks.
Yeah.
That had to have been like shocking for a lot of people.
My dad had the Northward Cocktail Lounge in there from about 70 to, he sold it to Deke Burnett.
Yeah, that's my cousin actually.
Yeah,
about that's my dad's cousin, I guess.
Yeah, about 82 right in there, I think. And so most people didn't realize it, but they built that on an artesian well. So the water pumps, it's always being dewatered in the basement
there. Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah, there, it's always being dewatered. And you can, there's parking down there. There's
heated. Off, is it still heated?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You know, there's a parking, you pull in from the Noble Street side, and there's a down ramp to it. And one of my first jobs, I was a freshman in high school. My dad woke me up one morning at about 5 a.m. And my defenses weren't up. I couldn't deflect it. You know, he just wakes me up.
As a young man, we all have this story. I don't know where this – I know what story this is.
And all of a sudden he wakes me up and goes, well, you know, I got to go with him and work because he fired the guy in the morning, guy who'd take out the trash and restock the beer and everything for getting into the booze.
Yeah.
So he goes, it's only going to last a week. And if I would have been – more on my game, I'd have been deflecting it to my brother Danny, who was sleeping in the bed next to me. But I was out of kilter that's early, so that 1 week lasted about 2 years.
Can we go back to the Polaris building?
Yeah.
We were just
kind
of speaking of that, and great building, great history, and I think Fairbanks kind of has a bad reputation of not taking care of our historic places here.
Mm-hmm.
But once that gets down, I would love to see Fairbanks kind of just a reimagining or a regrowth.
Yeah. Yeah.
Of people being able to come downtown again. That is what I dream, because my dad talked about going downtown and like being a child, you know, young man hanging out downtown. Love to be able to see that again.
Yeah, you know, overall, it's going to be funded to be knocked down by the EPA, but we're not stopping there. The Polaris group that I founded and run, we're looking at what is next. You know, we don't want another downtown parking lot.
No, we don't need one.
Yeah, you know, just look right next to us over here, and you'll see Mount McKinley. They bought that old, you know, right next to the school district. They knocked down the building. They're putting in a parking lot, extra parking lot.
Yeah,
and so, you know, we're going to be after something that gives downtown a place to go. You know, you're zoned central business district, so your first floor has to be of a commercial nature, a retail nature, a business nature. Then after that, on the second, third floor, you can put in housing if you want.
Yep.
You know, but you can put in a hotel down there, depending if you go the whole block or if you just go the 16,500 square foot site, you can do something else. But also, it's, you know, when I got on the council, there was a battle that happened, and I was on the prevailing side.
Well, of course you
and
were.
And that was to give a liquor license to Arlette.
Yeah.
Without having food, because we had an ordinance in place that said between 1st and 6th Avenue, if you're to have a liquor license, you had to have food. And she didn't. And if she would have went for just a beer and wine license,
you could have that, correct?
Yeah, but she would have had to have food.
Yeah,
it has to have food. And but she said, you know, I don't want to have a cook. I don't want to have washer. You know, dishwasher. I don't want to have waitresses. And if you put in food, that's what you
need.
Yeah,
yeah. You've doubled your staff already.
And so we had it was a good battle. We got her that license application approved. And when we did that, we have to make downtown a to-go area again. And how do you do it? You invest in small businesses with beer,
agree,
or an alcohol license,
yep,
food.
Yep.
And we started doing that. Then you look at near it, there is the, not the Chena building, but the Lathrop building.
Oh, yeah.
And
oh,
they have that, they put in that coffee shop.
Yep.
And now they have a liquor license there too. And you're going to see another beer place right there. And the fear was you're going to have, you know, something like the Mecca again. Mecca used to be a very good businessman's bar.
It's a gorgeous bar in there.
Yeah. It used to be, and that's where the original Tiki Cove started,
yep,
in the basement.
That's right. Yeah.
So, not everything was bad down there. And so.
What changed that perception, Dave? I'm curious.
Me? Fighting with Jerry Cleworth.
Well, no. What changed that perception of we got to clean Fairbanks out? Obviously, it was a lot of I assume pipeline and kind of all that kind of stuff.
What happened in the late '70s? A general drove through Fairbanks downtown, and he goes,
general from the military base.
Yeah, and he goes, we can't have this. You know, the First Avenue, Second Avenue was just it was.
Uh-huh. I've read a lot of these stories.
They started the Fairbanks Development Corporation. The state funded it with a hefty, back when the oil money was there,
mm-hmm,
and they were tasked with going out and buying, the Flame Lounge, all these 1930s, 40s, and 50s buildings that had liquor licenses in them, and knocking them down. And if you see where the Marriott is,
yep.
That's, the Pastime Bar was there, the Pastime Cafe was there. That was the culmination of their work. Okay, a lot of people say, well, you took out our history. Well, it's just, but you also had to have an impetus to redevelop.
Was that missed? Was that something that was missed? It just seems like there's been a disconnect from people, just growing up here, there was no reason to go downtown. And that's been the past 40 years. I love the fact that you're doing this. And our theater group, we want to
be downtown.
We want to be downtown. There's a theater downtown we would love to look into.
I'm a townie. My office is in downtown. I live behind the Newsminer building.
Yes.
At 40 below, I don't have a garage, so I don't start my car. I just walk to work.
Yeah.
20 to 40 below, hey, no biggie. It's an 8-minute walk. We're good. And when you start living around the downtown, you realize in the evenings, depending, on a Saturday night, I took a photo of a group from South Africa on a Saturday night in the middle of Cushman without a car being on it. And they were from Cape Town. They just couldn't believe how quiet it was. So I took a photo of them at 2nd Avenue and Cushman Street going south towards Airport Way. And they just couldn't believe that there was no cars on a Saturday night at 7 o'clock in the evening. And so that's what, you're trying to get people downtown. Lavelle's Tap House, and the other ones that are starting to come in downtown now are a lot of fun. You have the restaurants there. You have the Creperie. You have the El Dorado. You have some very good things that you can go downtown and do that are clean, fun, great food, enjoyable time. Spend an hour to three there, and you're off and running doing something else.
Absolutely.
Fairbanks, we are going to take a break. I'm going to be DJ Dave here. This is Genesis, Land of Confusion.
Oh,
I have no idea what this bumper is.
Oh, that's a good song,
obviously, it's approved by...
Yeah. You know, by Raleigh. You know Genesis. Right?
I know Genesis. Okay. I just don't know this one.
Yeah, you want to hear it.
We're going to have some Fox News, state news, some weather, and we'll be back.
Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
President Biden today marking the passage of a bipartisan gun reform package as real progress, but says more needs to be done to reduce gun violence across the country.
Will we match thoughts and prayers with action? I say yes.
The new law provides funding for mental health resources, tightens restrictions on young gun buyers, and denies gun purchases for domestic abusers. Federal prosecutors say former Trump aide Steve Bannon's sudden wish to testify for the House committee investigating the January 6th Capitol riot is an attempt to avoid accountability, not a genuine effort to meet his obligations.
Bannon's attorneys indicated over the weekend their client would drop executive privilege claims and agree to meet with congressional investigators. The change of position was made as Bannon's trial for criminal contempt is approaching.
Fox's Jared Halpern at the White House. America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
Fire behavior on the Little Chena River was moderate yesterday. Rainfall last night and this morning lowered fire activity even more, although there is still a dense smoke layer all around Fairbanks and the surrounding areas, which is limiting the use of helicopters and fixed-wing aircrafts. The same smoke layer shaded the fire, helping to reduce activity. The northern flank continues to hold steady after being coated with retardant on Friday evening. And Fairbanks Area Forestry Incident Commander Ernest Prax indicated crews and equipment continued to work on the southern flank yesterday to minimize perimeter expansion. As of this weekend, fire acreage was approximately 33 acres, which is lower than the previous estimate as crews were able to get around the perimeter for more accurate mapping. Two hotshot crews were moved from the Minto Lakes fire yesterday to bolster the forces already assigned. The lightning-caused fire is approximately 11 miles northeast of the Fort Knox mine. For more information on wildfires in Alaska, call 907-356-5511. Link up from this station's website or go directly to akfireinfo.com.
Streaming live online at kfar660.com.
Fairbanks, are you ready? It's the Jeans Chrysler Ram Golden Days Rodeo and Music Fest, July 23rd and 24th at the Tananah Valley State Fairgrounds. It's the biggest summer event you won't want to miss. Saturday, gates open at 3 with Ram Championship Rodeo at 5. Sunday, gates open at noon with rodeo action at 2. Saturday, after the rodeo, Pendleton Whiskey presents Ray Scott performing live with special guest the Kemp Peltier Band. Get your tickets now and save $2 off at your Fairbanks Fred Meyer or RodeoAlaska.com.
The word is out, and North Star Honey Wagon is quickly becoming Fairbanks' favorite septic pumping expert with a fleet of big new shiny trucks. They can handle all call-outs quickly and affordably. And thanks to you, they're growing. They not only added a sweet new thought truck for winter, but also a new state-of-the-art pumping truck as well, all to better serve you. That's North Star Honey Wagon, 907-888-8265. The fun guys with the big shiny trucks, handling all your septic needs. North Star Honey Wagon, from Fairbanks to Salcha, online at NorthStarHoneyWagon.com.
We're talking men's health with Dr. Tony Nima from Fairbanks Urology. We always see ads about Cialis versus Viagra. What's the difference?
We used to prescribe lots of Viagra because it was a lot cheaper than Cialis. But most recently, the Cialis really dropped down in price, and we're prescribing a lot more Cialis. Cialis lasts 48 hours in the body, a lot more than the 4 hours you get from Viagra.
Find out more about men's health at Fairbanks Urology with Dr. Tony Nima, online at fairbanksurology.com.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back in the studio here with Raleigh Johnson. We're sort of talking about Fairbanks business in general.
Yeah.
And everything that's going on, history and murders.
Yes.
Did they ever catch the murderer of the book?
I don't want to ruin the book for anyone, but no.
But it's a great read.
Yeah, it really was. Really.
Who do you think did it?
I kind of agreed with the
author.
The author's synopsis that it was like, it was the '50s, and obviously it was never great. But
why was he killed?
Because I think he hit his wife one too many times.
Ooh.
And I think she had kind of got fed up with it. And you, and really, you can...
Did she hire someone to do it?
I don't believe so.
Someone just did it for her, or did she do it?
He was shot in his sleep, so I think it was her. But it was very fascinating. It was very cool. It was just kind of very cool to read that.
What's the name of the book again?
Alaskan Blonde.
Alaskan Blonde.
Yeah, and I've kind of done research on this because I have I love old Fairbanks and
history.
So I have I have two websites on my computer in my office right now, where I have old newspaper subscription archives.
Yeah.
So I knew the story kind of stuff like that. So it was very cool to read it, and and the author's name is James Bartlett, which is kind of cool.
The Bartlett family, Bartlett Heights, Mighty Bartlett, Bob Bartlett, yeah.
But the guy's from England, so.
Oh.
But he loves Fairbanks too. I've kind of just contacted him on Facebook and stuff like that. He loves the old Fairbanks history and stuff like that. So it's very cool, very, very good read. And I would encourage anyone to read this book.
There
you got the old Fairbanks. And he sets it up. Fairbanks really was kind of Wild West town in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah. That's why my dad came up here. He wanted to go to Wild West town after being a Marine in World War II. And my mom, she came from Boston. She was sent to Point Barrow as a nurse.
Really?
And then she came back to, when she was done with her 18 months, she had a couple weeks off. So a friend of hers was in Fairbanks. So she landed in Anchorage and drove to Fairbanks to visit her friend for a week, and
she stayed.
Yeah, the original Dr. Fate found out that she was a nurse and hired her at the co-op building at the coffee shop there.
It's very interesting because there's a lot of stories like that. I just came up to Fairbanks for visit a friend for a week or something.
And 40 years later,
the friend's not even alive anymore, but they're still here.
They left.
It's very interesting. Fairbanks has that it's
frontier mentality.
And it's not the most beautiful city, but there's some beautiful things about the city, but there's something charming about this town.
I believe our best natural resource in Fairbanks are the people.
I agree with it because everyone here in Fairbanks goes through the same thing, winter.
Yep.
And you got to rely on a lot of people to get you through that winter.
My definition of a Fairbanksan is anyone who stayed for their second winter.
Yeah.
If you stayed for the second winter, you're a Fairbanks. You're demented like the rest of us. You did it. You got some.
Yeah, and that's why, and that's really because of that. The people, and I love this town. And my growing up here, hearing the stories from my dad about how much he loved this town. And he passed that on to me.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm so interested in building Fairbanks up and
the stories you heard from your parents about other people and things. And and a lot of them you can't say on the air.
Nope.
we don't have a mute button. We don't have caller ID. So what's said here is out there forever.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that I really care for this town. And I'd love to see the downtown build itself back up after a couple years of being knocked on its butt. It seems like that it's going to come back. And as you were talking about Arlette kind of being the linchpin about and I didn't even think about that till you said that, and I was like, you know what, you're right, she's doing a great job right there. We bring down that Polaris building down, we can build something else there. Something else beautiful for Fairbanks.
Out of everything about that Polaris building, I've only made one promise, and it was to Arlette. And to our lead, it was, if we have to knock down your building too, that you're renting, whatever is built, because if we're knocking down your building, something's coming in to take over that, you will have the first opportunity to lease whatever you want.
Oh, perfect.
That's the only promise I've made out of everything is our lead, your linchpin. You can lease. If we're going to be building something, you're going to have something to lease.
Yeah, and then that's how it should be. Really, because she's doing a great job there. And
Last time I was there was Friday night. I go in there and have an 8-ounce beer, and I get to bring in my dog.
Well, you can bring your dog at the motel, too.
I know. but I can walk down from my house, but let's go to the motel. How's it doing this summer? Because
I think that's a little off-putting for a lot of people.
Yeah.
But over the past 2 years, obviously, it's It's almost back, baby.
Good.
But like my wife Natalie and her sister Chris, they're putting a lot of money into that place.
Yeah,
like that's they're built redoing the deck. The deck is going to be, it's no longer going to be the Botel, it's going to be the Dectel, because that that deck is so big.
And you also, you know, it's interesting that once she started managing it and running it, stuff changed in a good way. Events outside.
Yeah.
Bands outside.
Yep.
More improvements. Better looking bartenders.
So this is a true story. My wife tells me this all the time is, Will a woman feel safe to be there?
Exactly.
And that has changed.
Yeah.
That is totally changed.
Yeah.
You know, she's a woman, obviously.
Yeah.
Like, if she feels safe, she's going to stay. And that is one of the things that both her and her sister, Chris, that's one of their things. Like, a woman will feel safe there.
You know, I for a number of years, every Christmas morning, I would get down there about 11 o'clock for the breakfast.
Yeah.
But it was all about... me and John Bachner, I'd meet him there, and he would meet his mom there. That's where he'd meet his mom for Christmas breakfast.
Yep.
So, of course, I had to go. You know,
I'm cooking those Christmas breakfasts now, by the way.
she grew up about seven houses down from me, when I was a little kid, and John was a few years younger than me. But is this a good way to go see Mrs. Bachner on Christmas morning, say hello, reminisce by noon? You know, you're out there doing whatever you do on Christmas. But you would see Fairbanks down there.
Yeah,
I mean, you would see Fairbanks down there. And, boy.
I don't want to get into the names, but you still do. Like, you just kind of like, you go in there like on a...
And people like
I don't want to say on a Tuesday afternoon, but...
Yeah. or a Tuesday morning.
But you do. You see a great cross...
section.
Of Fairbanks.
Yeah.
And you really can't... You be there and a doctor's there. Your lawyer's there. And they're talking about... John Bachner, who used to, you know, it's really kind of cool like that. I always think other bars are like that, but there's something weird, very family oriented about the Botel.
It's a local and a neighborhood bar.
Yeah.
And it's a local one. And I think I was in about third grade, maybe fourth grade.
They didn't serve you.
No, and my fake ID couldn't help me then either. But I was riding my bike home from Denali School after school, and we saw this fire, and we didn't know what it was. As you're driving home, I was living in Westgate, but it was the Botel burning up.
Oh, yeah.
The original Botel.
1970.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that would have been about fourth grade for me.
Yeah. It was like March 28th. I got the article on my computer there.
Yeah. And... but they had a bar rebuilt there within 2 months.
I mean,
boom. You know, they weren't.
That's Cliff Everett right there.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like they told my wife's dad, that's ridiculous. A bar way outside of Fairbanks, that'll never work.
Yeah, either with the Switzerland.
I don't know. It was right there on the river.
Yeah. You know, you had University Avenue at that time, so it's going to work. You know, and then, in the 90s, they right next year they had the gravel bar.
The gravel bar, yeah.
And then the DOT, you know, the wide road widening, that went away.
Yeah.
So you had competition.
Yeah. Well, competition is good. My wife is so good about this. She says this, if they're not coming here, there's something we're not
exactly.
doing.
Exactly.
And so,
they're going to go somewhere.
Yeah. And then, so that's what, if the ladies feel safe and...
you give good service?
Yeah, they're coming.
And you're redoing the deck?
Yes.
And you also have events outside?
Almost every weekend.
Yeah.
We just had a world-class jazz band. We saw that, me and my wife went on vacation. We went to Savannah, saw this jazz band, and we brought them up.
Wow.
3 weeks ago, they were here.
Wow.
And they were amazing. Like, it was, we have that kind of, level.
Yeah, we can do that.
Yeah.
Because I like them. They got to play in Fairbanks.
Because we can do it. Because Chrissy and Natalie have built that place up that they can do that now.
Yeah.
And, I think that's, I love live music. That's not a very bold statement. Everyone likes live music.
Yeah.
But just the, you know, people coming into Alaska, they'll contact my wife. Like, hey, we hear about the Botel. We'd love to play there. And it's very cool. Like, I didn't know this until a few years ago. There are bands that just come up to Alaska for the summer. Yep. They do Talkeetna. They do Valdez. They do Homer.
Their roadshow.
Yeah, and it's very cool that Alaska has. I'm sure other places have that. But just imagine being a 20-something musician, 30-something.
Those wimps, they don't want to be up here in winter. What's wrong with them? they're afraid to play outdoors at 20 below.
Just what a great summer that would be.
Strum their fingers off.
Yeah. What a great summer that would be for any musician or coming up here for summer.
And they go to Delta.
Yeah. It's just unbelievable how that has worked, how Alaska's worked that out. Fairbanks has worked that out.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a quick commercial break. If you have any thoughts or want to add to our conversation, we're at 907-458-TALK. That's 907-458-8255. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Amy Cyberlich here to tell you about Health Talk. Every Saturday at noon, join Dr. Scott Looper from White Spruce Medical and special guests like me who have our fingers on the pulse of Fairbanks Golden Heart. Learn about a wide range of topics and pick up some beneficial health tips and practical health information pertinent to interior Alaskans. Listen live every Saturday at noon or online anytime at kfarradio.com. Health Talk with Dr. Looper, brought to you by White Spruce Medical. Check us out at whitesprucemedical.com.
Weather brought to you by GCR. Find Bridgestone and Cooper tires for every car, truck, motor, home, and SUV you drive. Everything you tow. GCR Tires and Service. The Tire Guys. Taming the Alaskan Road. Van Horn at Cushman.
KFAR. Weather.
Cloudy skies expected today with scattered thunderstorms likely. High of 77. Winds out of the southwest around 5 miles per hour. Overcast tonight. Scattered thunderstorms likely. Lows around 55. Slight chance for scattered thunderstorms again tomorrow. Highs level off around 75. Cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Raleigh Johnson in the studio with me here, and you're bringing back the jazz band next year because they're so good this year.
Yeah, it would be early June next year.
How long were they up here for?
They were here like 5-6 days, and wow. they loved it.
How many nights did they play out at the Botel?
They played just Friday and Saturday.
Okay.
And
working vacation.
Yeah, absolutely. And but the next year they're going to come up and they're going to tour. They want to do the tour. So it's just very cool. Fairbanks has so much to offer for it's just really incredible.
Yeah, you know, it's a unique town. And when you look out your studio door and you see Perry Wally and the way he dresses, you shake your head. This is the leader of the pack.
I asked you this kind of, not in jest, but I kind of threw this question out earlier when we were off air. What do you see Fairbanks in 15 years, 10, 15 years, like, what are we going to be able to really sell someone?
The people. It's always the people. You look at, like you said, in the 50s, the people.
Yeah.
You know, we're always going to have industry. We're always going to have mining, the military, the University of Alaska, tourism. But when you talk about what does Fairbanks have to sell, it's the people.
Yeah.
It's just the most unique, outgoing, giving people in the world. Sunday, I was at Mount McKinley Bank to withdraw some money. A friend of mine's going on a trip with her two kids. So I'm giving them, you know, a couple of dollars, you know, 8-year-old and 11-year-old. And here you could tell these tourists right there at the Mount McKinley parking lot, they're looking at their phone. They're trying to figure out where they're at or what to do. And I roll down my window and I go, what are you looking for? Boom, told them where to have breakfast, where to go get something to eat at the creperie or, you know, places right there, coffee shops. And they're happy and they're on their way. That happens in Fairbanks. That doesn't happen in many locations in the world.
I think you're probably correct about that.
Yeah. And any Fairbanksan would just do that.
I think you were correct.
Yeah.
You walk down because, you know, they got these tour buses. Yeah, obviously. That's what you're supposed to do. If someone's looking for something, you help them out.
So in 15 years, I anticipate wonderful people.
Yeah. I hope they have.
A few new buildings downtown, updated roads and bridges.
we don't need any more bridges. Yeah,
our transportation system will be top shelf.
We don't need any more bridges.
Oh, my God. You know, how I spent 5 years in traffic reroute, you know? You know, it started with, you know, they took out the Wendell Street and they took out the University Bridge at the same time.
Yep.
Okay. Then they get those open. The first thing they do is they take out half of Cushman Street, and they're redoing half of the University Avenue Bridge in the next year. Oh, my God. And so then after that, they're going to be taking out the Mini Street Bridge and the Aurora Bridge over the Noyce Slough.
Are you really?
That they're scheduled. Man. Yeah. You know, a bridge has a lifetime capacity of 50 years. Yep. Those are at 60 and 70.
Yeah, well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
How great would it be? Like, obviously, I'm not a city planner or anything. How great would it be to see a riverboat on?
You can't get them underneath the bridges.
I know, Dave. I know.
Yeah. When I put the footbridge across the Chena River at Pioneer Park, I put that across to bring a water line over.
Okay.
And I made sure that the height of that bridge was just a few inches higher than the Pega Road Bridge, you know, the arc on it.
Yep.
And then they go and put in the Barnett Street Bridge. And I was like, what did you guys do? You know, we gotta put down the canopy on our boats to get underneath this thing. You know, who's a planner on this one?
It's like that. It's almost like the bridge across from like Lake Washington.
Yeah.
There to like laying on the water.
Well, yeah. Why don't we have a pontoon bridge? Drawbridge or something like that.
I always would love to see a riverboat. How cool would that be?
But when they first put that in on the Barnett Street Bridge, I go, you guys weren't thinking. You know, who is the master civil engineer who designed this one? They weren't thinking.
No, let's not name names.
Well, yeah, it's too late now. You know, but anyway, you know, there's a couple things you don't want to do. You don't want to put in the lowest bridge.
No.
On the Chena River. And they did it there.
You think that's something they'll talk to?
I recognize real fast because, you know, I had that issue. How high is your bridge? And how do you want to design it? Just make sure it's a few inches taller than Pega Road and we're golden. You know, it was a clear span bridge. It was fabricated in Kenai by Denali Steel. Railroad trained up here. It was brought to the north side of the bridge. We had two cranes, one 45-foot, one 90-foot. They had this great big float, this big cushion that floated. They lifted up one side, put it on that, hauled it across, and both cranes lifted up and dropped it and put it on their structures and tack welded it on, and boom, we were done. You know, and then we started, you know, doing more welding and attaching the water line, 8-inch water line with a 4-inch circulating line that came back. But I made sure that it was higher than the Pega Road Bridge by about 2 inches. That way there was never an issue.
I just read this. You know how, let's go back to the 50s.
Yeah.
They had the steel structure over the Cushman Street Bridge.
Yeah.
I just read that bridge is actually in Nome.
Or Teller, you know. Is that, yeah.
And it's still called the Cushman Street Bridge?
Yeah. You know, why get rid of a good bridge?
Exactly. Why did we get rid of a good bridge?
So how do you get it there? You send it down to St. Mary's, you know, down the Chena, under the Tanana, onto the Yukon. Up, you know, onto a barge that goes up, you know, to Nome or wherever it is. And then from there, it's wheeled, you know, boom, 1964, 65 is when they
did
that.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
It's just 1960, that was 20 years ago. That wasn't 20 years ago.
40-ish, 50.
Ingenuity, you'd have to be a...
Well, where's the London Bridge at?
It's obviously London.
No, it's in Arizona.
What?
The original one is in the last one was in Arizona. They brought it over there as a tourist trap.
I did not know that.
Yeah, you know, there's a new one.
I don't have to learn anything else today. I just learned this.
I know. And you know, bridges, they have a 40 to 60 year lifespan. And take a look at the bridges that were completed. The Johnson River Bridge.
Yep.
Boom, big bridge. One of these days, it has to be replaced.
It's going
to
happen, yeah.
Yeah, there's things like that.
Is that just because of wear and tear, obviously, right?
Yeah. Like,
is that just here in Alaska? Is that pretty much anywhere?
Well, here in Alaska anyway.
Yeah.
That's what they, and, you know, this from the elements, the wear and tear, you know, construction standards that are now better.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's how they do it.
That's very cool.
So obviously you're a Monroe fan today.
I coached Monroe football for about 5 years.
How'd you do?
We went to a state championship. We lost, but we had.
Oh, what year was that?
Oh, goodness gracious, was that 2013? Okay. We had 13 kids.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Went both ways. Iron Man.
Yeah. And that was one of the greatest summers I've ever had in my life.
Who was the quarterback?
Who was the quarterback that year? Oh, my goodness gracious. Tyler Wells.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
An athlete upon athletes.
Yeah. We had Scooter Bynum was on that team. It was incredible. That team was really super fun, and I learned a lot. I learned because Keith Blanchard.
Yeah.
He kind of talked me into it because he knew I'd done some coaching before. It's like, oh, yeah, come out. And then that was the summer that he went back to Ohio. So I was like, I don't know anyone there. So I got to learn all these
Coach
kids.
Coach Johnson, yeah.
And I was kind of the jerk. I was the jerk coach. You know, you got to do that. It's football. I played football. You had to be the mean. But it's very interesting now because I see all these kids are starting to age out to where they can come out to the Botel and enjoy the live music and stuff like that. And hey, coach. Hey. No, it's really great to see those kids around and doing super well.
Yeah, that was a special group of athletes over there at Monroe. They took about 3 state championships in basketball.
Yeah.
Just some incredible athletes,
and I hope those. And I know they. I know some of them do already.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd like to see those kids come back and build Fairbanks for the next 50 years.
A buddy of mine, Humphrey Stevens, Hump, he put on a Facebook today the 1967-68 wrestling team, the photos and the schedule, and boy, they wrestled Eielson a lot. they went down to Kenai, and you're this looking at some of those names and going, wow, you know. And there was Steve Shuttleworth, you know, then he was a good baseball coach. He's got the baseball over at Lathrop going back in the 90s and everything like that. And so is this interesting to see old coaches. And you know, I went to I wrestled for Charlie Scott.
Okay.
Incredible coach.
Yeah.
Judo coach was Jonas Edwards. Don't know if many people remember Jonas, but he worked for this radio station for a while, selling advertising in the 80s and 90s. Very incredible person. Then Roderick and Dobrik in basketball and some good baseball coaches. And you know, a coach is such an influence, a good influence or a bad influence.
Yeah, I still remember my favorite coach of all time was a football coach.
Who was that?
Coach McMillan.
Oh, okay.
This was when I went to school in Maine.
Yeah.
And the guy got on me, but I still remember
that. Charlie Scott got on me, too. Oh,
but
man.
But there's, you know, I always.
He brought out the best in me.
I still have used his sayings, like trying is lying. Like, oh, yeah. I'm trying to do better. Well, you know, you're not. You're trying. Just do better.
Yeah, you're failing.
Yeah.
If you're trying, you're failing.
Yeah, trying is lying, you know. Yeah. So, and I, that was, it's. And that's why I wanted to get into coaching, because that guy influenced my life so much.
Yeah.
I wanted to be a better person because he knew I was a better person. You know, it just, I hope I did that. I hope some of these kids, they enjoyed what I did. But I, you know, I was hard on them, but I also.
Fair but firm.
Yeah. You know, I knew how that was.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Well, we got about a minute left. Thank you for being the replacement, the relief pitcher.
I could never replace my wife.
No, but, you know, the relief pitcher.
I'll take that.
And tell her it's only an absence. It's not, it's you know, she's...
Go see her.
Yeah.
Maybe, you got to go back to, I got to go back to work.
Yes, I do. I have another job.
This me too.
That's not what we do.
You just got me out of my office. I
dragged
go back
you
to
down
work
here. You know, yeah, but greatly appreciate you being able to come down here.
I appreciate this. I love this studio because, like... I loved Bill Wally. I loved Steve Agbaba. This room, when I walk down the hall, I know where that is. Inside still gives me little tingles.
Yeah, they put me down here at the end. You know, if you're walking down here, you have a purpose.
Yeah.
Other places, you're just walking by or saying hello. You come down to this side, okay, there's
somebody. No, I really do appreciate it. This is very cool.
Raleigh, thank you very much. Fairbanks, that is our show for today. You have a great day, and I will see you tomorrow. And I have a book author who's going to be calling in, and we're going to go through a wonderful book. I'll see you tomorrow.